Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome back to the podcast, where I've been reading you Deep in the Woods, book one of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. Today, I will continue to read you Annabelle Joseph's book with episode 13. Chapter 13. Sophie caught herself drowsing again. She wanted to stay up until midnight to see the ball drop on TV and ring in the new year. But something about being cradled between two warm male bodies on a soft, cushy sofa after a night, several nights actually, of rollicking sex, really took the energy out of a girl. Sophie drifted on thoughtless daydreams, barely registering the guy's quiet conversation about the sparkly catsuit the singer was wearing on TV. Whatever. Catsuits were lovely. Everything was lovely to Sophie right now. So warm, so cozy. Her belly was full of beer and popcorn because they decided they were too tired to cook after their latest fuckfest. And Ryan wasn't going home for two more days. The last 2 days, though, they had plans to take a camping trip. The guys had just let Sophie in on that after a couple days of secretive plotting and slanted looks. Sophie hadn't been camping since she was a Girl Scout. Not the overnight sleep in a tent kind. She'd done plenty of hiking, though, so she thought she'd do just fine, as long as there were no bears in the campsite and no spiders in the tent. But no, the bears would be hibernating, they assured her, and spiders, well, if she screeched loud enough, hopefully they'd scurry away. Still, she wondered what else was going to go on. She knew them both well enough by now to know when a plot was afoot. Fortunately, she trusted them 100%. David assured her before he arrived that Ryan was okay, and he had been proven right. Ryan could be sadistic in the bedroom, even more so than Dave at times, but he never crossed that line that Sophie now recognized, never even came close. And even if he had, Dave would have stopped him, because when she was with Ryan, Dave was never more than an arm's length away. But it wasn't all just hedonistic fucking with the three of them. They sparred together, too. Every day. Sophie felt her reflexes getting quicker, her reactions getting stronger. The second day of his visit, Ryan had jumped her while she was walking past him, tackled her, and put her in a headlock. It was only Dave's quick, "No, Cerberus, down," that saved Ryan from getting his head ripped off by 100 pounds of protective black fury. After that, they made sure Cerberus was outside or in the bedroom when they practiced martial arts together. Sophie watched in awe as Dave and Ryan faced off too, each as light and practiced as the other, displaying menacing defense and an economy of movement in taking each other down. It was like some intricate, wondrous dance. It was all an intricate dance, their week with Ryan. It was a dance of respect and balance. Sophie had worried that Ryan might spawn jealousy or uneasiness between Sophie and Dave, but so far it had been nothing but fun. They played together, and then Sophie and Dave went to bed and Ryan slept on the couch. When they woke up, they sat and had breakfast like three close friends. Part of Sophie wished it could go on forever, like when she was lulled into a sense of total security between them on the couch. But part of her knew that the only reason it worked was because they all knew it was temporary, a diversion, like this camping trip they had planned. She knew that in the end, it was her and Dave. It would always be her and Dave. Forever, she hoped. Dave stretched in bed the next morning next to Sophie. He tried to scoot Cerberus farther down the bed, but the dog only grunted and crept up closer. Sophie stirred and yawned. "Gotta wake up soon, sleepyhead," he nuzzled her. "It's a new year, and the forest awaits. I know how you like to sneak off into the woods whenever you can." Sophie moaned. Dave was a little disappointed that the cane marks he and Ryan had admired the last few days were already starting to fade. He could always add more, he supposed, although he didn't like to cane her too often. Her feelings had to be accounted for, too. He knew a lot of sadists who believed it was only about fulfilling their needs, and their needs alone, every time they played. That taking their submissives' needs and desires into account was a sign of weakness. Dave wondered why they didn't realize they were always alone. always chasing after someone new because their last girlfriend had run off. Then there were the dangerous ones, like Sophie's last partner, who used mind control and psychological games to get their victims to stay when any sane person would run screaming. Dave wanted to save the world, save every girl, and make sure they only played safely with sane, healthy partners, but that wasn't possible. He had to content himself with saving one very special girl. He looked down at her, stroking her tousled hair out of her eyes. His beautiful Sophie. She looked so happy, so relaxed and content there in his bed. Serby jumped down, no doubt to wander out and wake up Ryan, who had taken to feeding him in the morning and letting him out. Dave and Sophie both took the opportunity to move closer, drawn together like two magnets. Skin against naked skin, and Dave hard like a rock at the feel of her curves under his hands. He turned and grabbed a condom from the drawer, rolled it on, and pushed Sophie onto her back. He parted her thighs and pressed into her, groaning at the delicious pressure. She was already slick and warm. "Good little girl," he whispered against her ear. "Always wet for sir."
"Yes, always."
Her return whisper died away into a sigh as he sank all the way into her and held still. He did this often in the mornings, just pushed inside her and enjoyed the feeling of being one with her, joined together, her clinging walls squeezing against his cock. After a moment, he rocked in her slowly, a minute movement that made her shudder nonetheless. "Do you like the feel of my cock inside you? What does it feel like?"
"Oh, God," she wiggled her hips, arching to him, "like paradise, like the way things should be."
"Amen." Dave cupped her bottom, pressing even deeper.
"You fill me so perfectly. Dave, sir."
Dave, sir, in the mornings, the two always merged, and more than ever he felt himself both things at once. Dave, her lover, sir, her dominant and owner. But she was always Sophie, his willing, lovely sub. She lived to please him, to love him, and he tried to live up to that gift always. He tried to be worthy of what she gave, which was everything. She gave everything for him. He kissed her cheeks, her eyelids, her brow, feathery, worshipful kisses that made her smile. She spread her legs wider, drawing him closer, ever closer. He angled his hips to rub his pelvic bone against her clit and was rewarded with a shaky sigh. He drew back and entered her again, looking for that perfect angle, the one that made her start babbling. He had read in a recent news article that the G-spot was just a myth, but he happened to know that in a certain position, a certain angle, he could hit it until Sophie turned to goo. It was quite a diversion for him.
"Oh, my God. Yeah. My."
There it was. She clutched at him and he teased her, holding back, just probing the edge of her happy spot. Then he moved forward again, slow and deep, rocking back and forth when he felt her tremble.
"Sir, please. Oh,
Her voice trailed off into some unintelligible exclamations. "Reach down and play with sir's balls," he whispered. She was going to come in 30 seconds or less, and he wanted to come with her when she did. She reached down and stroked his testicles, her fingers squeezing the base lightly and sending waves of pleasure through his pelvis. He felt his own body coil and start to tense. Again he moved against her spot, then again teasing her beyond the ability to verbalize at all. She was a mess of tense, jerky movements and ecstatic panting. "Are you going to come hard for sir, baby?"
"Yes, yes, yes."
Her fingers caressed his balls, cupping and massaging them as he moved in and out of her with controlled movements. He felt the shaking reach its peak and then felt her body clamp down on him and heard her weak, relieved cry. Her undulating walls triggered his own powerful orgasm, sparks of almost painful release shaking him to his core. They rode the waves of ecstasy together until they collapsed, spent. "Oh, Soph,"
Dave sighed when he caught his breath again. I want to stay connected to you forever. Just like this. She giggled.
That might be a little awkward in public.
It would make those interminable dinners with your parents a little more bearable. They both laughed then, and Serby came bounding back in and jumped on the bed. Ryan called out from the living room.
If you two lovebirds are done sexing each other up, you might consider getting your lazy asses out of bed. It's time to go camping.
Dave smiled down at Sophie. The night after Ryan arrived, he had told Dave about a new pastime of his, something he fondly dubbed chase fucking, which involved, well, chasing someone through the woods and fucking them silly when they were caught. They were going camping, and he and Ryan were going to do some chasing, and lovely Sophie, she was the one who was going to get fucked. Not that she knew that yet. He thought she probably had some vision of them sitting around a campfire roasting marshmallows. And hell, they'd probably do that too. But they had found a nice wooded campground 10 miles or so outside the city and rented out an entire area of sites to ensure their privacy. Dave had a feeling Sophie would enjoy chase fucking as much as he and Ryan, if not more. Breakfast first, little girl, said Dave, kissing her nose. Camping takes lots of energy.
I don't know, she said, stretching as he pulled away from her. Camping has always seemed kind of boring to me. Maybe we should take some board games or something to pass the time.
Dave stifled laughter as Ryan appeared in the door of the bedroom wearing an indignant frown.
Board games? You've obviously never gone camping with me before. I promise you, Sophie, the last thing you will be is bored.
Sophie licked the last of the chocolate from her hands, watching the two men from across the campfire with suspicion.
What? Why are you staring at me like that?
We're not, said Dave. Did you enjoy the s'mores? Sophie had actually enjoyed the camping experience more than she'd thought. She'd thrown herself into the spirit of it, helping the guys clear the campsite, pitch a tent, and build a fire from scratch, even lighting it with a flint instead of matches. Of course, Ryan would insist on that. The weather was perfect, too, not too warm or too cold. It was unseasonably pleasant for early January, and Sophie felt fine in her jeans and hoodie. The woods were quiet and peaceful as night fell. But those looks. You have some chocolate right here, Soph, said Dave, pointing to one side of his mouth. Come here, I'll lick it off. Sophie stood up and walked to Dave with a smile. He took her in his arms and licked off the chocolate before proceeding to lick her entire face. Sophie squealed and pushed him away.
Stop, you crazy man.
He's putting his scent on you,
Ryan said with a grin.
You're weird, Ryan, you know that?
Sophie laughed, but Ryan ignored her, suddenly busy typing away on his phone. Dave looked over at him.
Almost dark enough, do you think?
Almost, replied Ryan, not looking up.
Almost dark enough for what?
Dave smiled at her. We're going to play a little game tonight, baby. It's called Chase Sophie Through the Woods.
Really?
Sophie suppressed a shiver as Ryan looked up to gauge her reaction.
And what are the rules of this game?
The rules are, you get a 10-minute head start, and then we come find you. First one to catch you gets to fuck you then and there.
In the woods?
Right on the ground, in the woods, in the darkness.
Sophie looked up at the sky. It was a new moon. There was no light at all aside from the campfire.
But how will I see? How will I find my way?
It's actually more fun for us if you flounder around like a lost lamb. Oh, and you'll wear these so you don't hear us coming when we do catch you.
He reached in his pocket and produced a pair of wax earplugs. Now Sophie's shivering began in earnest. The idea of this game both terrified and excited her. What would it feel like to wander lost, hunted, knowing the outcome of being found?
How many times can we play?
Sophie asked. Dave and Ryan laughed. as many times as you like until daybreak, or until you run out of steam, Dave assured her. Greedy little lamb. He was squeezing the wax around in his fingers, getting it warm and soft in order to work it into her ears.
I suppose you've both done this before,
Sophie said, raising her eyebrows.
Ryan has.
Okay, Sophie, said Ryan, getting up and bringing her his phone. Whatever you do, don't lose this. Zip it into your pocket. Under no circumstances are you to use it, though. If we really can't find you, we'll call and you can give us your coordinates. But there's almost no chance of us not being able to find you, he added with a smirk. Still, safe, sane, and consensual. Isn't that what they say?
You know how to find your coordinates, Soph? Like when we go geocaching?
Yeah, said Ryan. Push the geocache app and your coordinates will pop up.
Oh, you geocache too. Shocking, said Sophie, taking the phone and stashing it in her pocket.
And don't break my phone, or I might have to punish you.
Lots of switches to make use of.
Dave swung his arm, indicating the many trees around them. Sophie groaned.
Not that again. Please.
Then behave, and don't break Ryan's phone. He'd definitely cry.
Shut up, Ryan said. Dave laughed and turned Sophie to face him.
Ready, baby? I'm going to put these in your ears, and then you have 10 minutes. And you need to move for 10 minutes. No picking a bush 200 yards away and hiding under it. You have to keep going. Make it fun for us.
Yes, sir.
Dave kissed her and then plugged her ears. The wax filled her ear canals, and Sophie was amazed to find she truly couldn't hear anything. In the stark, unfamiliar silence, she moved off into the woods. At first, she jogged straight ahead in a line, jumping over branches and finding it fairly easy to navigate through the trees and shrubs. But the farther she got from the camp, the darker it got. Once well away from the fire, it was pitch black. She felt shaky suddenly and slowed down. Each step was more careful, and the trees around her began to take on menacing shapes. How long had it been? Were they coming after her yet? Part of her wanted to be found, just to not be wandering alone in the smothering darkness. She turned her head, straining to hear out of habit, even though it wasn't an option now. She thought she saw a movement in the darkness and she froze. She almost reached up to her ears to tear out the earplugs. She resisted the urge to scream and then realized it wasn't anything but a branch waving in the breeze.
The bears are hibernating. The bears are hibernating.
Sophie laughed at herself, at her obsession with bear attacks. So that was all it took to make her crazy? Some earplugs in a dark forest? Then she realized that if Dave and Ryan were nearby, they would hear her laugh in the silence. Even her clumsy bumbling through the forest would be loud and obvious to them. She turned around in a circle. God, she was so lost.
You have to keep moving.
She picked through the forest, suddenly wishing they had brought Cerberus along instead of leaving him with a dog sitter. Cerby could have been her partner. They could have played teams. Then it would have been a fair fight, she thought as she stumbled through the brush, pushing a branch aside to get past it. Cerby would have alerted her as soon as they were within 50 feet of her, so perhaps not so fair a fight. She could have run as soon as she knew. She could have run in the other direction. A shape came at her from the left, a soundless menace that registered in her brain a moment before she felt the grab. She screamed and tried to escape, but a hand clamped over her mouth. She still screamed, the muffled sound loud in her head despite her useless ears. She struggled, but her assailant pinned her. She fought harder, instinctive drive. Then she felt lips against her cheek, smelled a scent she knew, a weight she remembered. Dave. His hands groped around the front of her, pulling down her jeans. She laid still, captured prey, shaking with lust as he sheathed himself and impaled her. The ground was hard under her, a jutting root banging against her hip in rhythm with Dave's thrusts. The silence, the darkness, it all effaced her, made her feel as nothing more than his vessel to use. She was caught, and now she was taken. he finished quickly to the background of Sophie's blood beating in her ears. Just as quickly, he hiked her pants back up and pulled her to her feet. She buttoned them with shaking hands before she looked up at her lover. His eyes looked wild and happy. He said something to her. One word it was easy to read on his lips in the silence. Run. She turned and ran again into the same enveloping black darkness. Her pussy pulsed now with the lost heat of Dave's possession and her own unfulfilled desire. She felt loose and animalistic, no longer thinking or planning escape. She was running on blind instinct alone. The trees and shadows that frightened her earlier seemed to belong to her now, to be her own world and her own people, the creatures of the woods. She was breathing hard, practically flying through the forest the next time a shape tackled her to the ground. She knew it was Ryan this time. She could see his dark eyes flashing inches from her face, and only Ryan would be so rough with her. She fought him harder than she'd fought Dave, egged on by the stubborn grimace on his face, until he covered her nose and mouth with one sweaty, dirty palm. Even then she fought. She never gave up until he flinched first and released her. He kissed her, then bit her lip until she yelped. He trapped her hands and she went still, the throb on her lip fading to a dull ache as she looked up into his eyes. Ryan's eyes were changed now, less animal and more human. His torso pressed her to the ground as he released himself and yanked at her jeans. Her clit flared with each rough jerk of his fingers. His cock bobbed between them, male protuberance, a weapon Sophie wanted used on her. He rolled on a condom and slid into her. In the darkness, he pulled her on top of him, pushing her up and down on his cock, but her jeans prevented her from spreading her legs to straddle him. After a moment of fumbling and fighting again, he rolled her back into the dirt. Sophie reached out and felt pine needles and sticks. Her fingers found a rock, and she thought she could knock Ryan out with it if she was truly endangered, if he was truly a predator to her prey. But instead, she curled her fingers into fists and let him take her. Some small part of her that was still sensible saw Dave photographing them, flashes in the dark. Ryan's pounding thrust pushed her into the ground, and the fire Dave lit between her legs flared to fever pitch. She arched up against him. Yes, 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 yes. Silence and darkness shattered into an orgasm that shuddered from her pelvis over her entire body as she bucked on the forest floor. Behind her eyes, she saw red and violet and more flashing. She forgot Ryan completely, transported out of her mind. The world seemed to spin as she watched from somewhere outside it, and then she opened her eyes and looked up at the sky. She heard a muffled scream, a terrible, awful scream that sounded far away and yet seemed to resound in her own head. It shattered her peace and brought her crashing back to earth. She realized with a start that she was the one screaming, and she clamped her mouth shut. Ryan and Dave both stared down at her in shock. They were talking to her, yelling at her, but she couldn't hear them. Ryan was still inside her. She was still lying on the cold forest floor. She looked up at the branches crisscrossed above her, looked up at the dark lattice of tree and flash and night, and again, without conscious thought or movement, another piercing scream tore from her throat. The end of this episode. Come back tomorrow, and I'll read you episode 14 of Deep in the Woods, book one of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. You can learn more about Annabelle Joseph and her books at annabellejoseph.com. I'm Donovan Kane. Thank you for listening.